The term is unethical basketball. It's starting to gain traction. Some would say that Bam Adebayo's 83 points this past week was amongst the most of unethical feats. I have something about it that bothers me even more, and maybe it's just me, maybe not. You'll find out in just a second. Welcome aboard hour number three today on a Sports Sunday, Selection Sunday 2026 here on The Fan. I am Steve Zabin. Wesley Clark is behind the glass producing today, and we've covered a lot of ground today, including a little bit on the Max Crosby debacle in Baltimore with our friend Jerry Coleman. We talked World Baseball Classic with Ryan Glasspiegel and, of course, with Wesley, who was down there and got to see it himself. Sent me a video, did young Wes, of the concourse of the WBC in Miami with the Nicaraguan fans.
Correct.
Just partying.
Fifth inning.
I mean, it's
mid-game
just...
Mid-game festivities.
Yeah. Here, take a listen. They got drum kits, cymbals, clarinets. It's fantastic stuff. I love it. So, yeah, we've talked about that. NFL free agency, what the Commanders did, my thoughts on that situation. I didn't finish real quick on my Commander thoughts. I'm not expecting a whole lot now this week. I think most of the Commanders' money is spent. They could probably leverage a bit more, but they've done what they needed to do with what they could get. And, Peter's made a lot of bets. He sprinkled his money around the roulette table on a bunch of numbers, and if a couple of these guys hit and hit good, then we hope this defense, the defense has got to be dragged from the depths of the 30s in most categories. It's got to be dragged kicking and screaming close to, say, 15th in the major key categories. You got to get it middle of the pack, because even with a rebound season from Jaden Daniels, which I am hoping for like anyone else, you got no shot if the defense is an utter sieve. So they got to drag that thing back to the middle of the pack, which hopefully this is the start of, which brings us to the draft, okay? Sitting there at number 7, there's going to be some really good filet mignon defensive meat available. Depends on what mock you believe, but there's going to be a defensive player there that is absolutely worth the 7th pick. Worthy of, I should say, the 7th overall pick. You're not going to get, most likely, David Bailey, the most coveted edge rusher, along with Arvell Reese from Ohio State. They're projected to go 2 and 3 to the Jets and the Cardinals, and I don't sense any slippage there as we're now past the combine. We're through the first week of free agency. This is when the jello starts to harden when it comes to opinions on the draft. Draft, by the way, is what? 45 days away, give or take? End of April? Then you got Sonny Styles projected 4th by CBS Sports out of Ohio State to the Titans. 40 days, thank you, Wesley. Sonny Styles, 4th overall projected pick. Jeremiah Love, according to some mocks, could be going to the Giants. Could be their way of saying, yeah, we kind of screwed up letting Barkley out the door. Let's do it again this time, only let's not let him out. I don't know about that. There's a lot of Commander fans that I hear and see that are starting to bang the drum for that idea. And is it a position of need? Of course. Bill, who's now the number one guy for you, with, I guess, Rashad White filling the Chris Rodriguez Jr. role, that's your backfield. That's a weak cup of coffee. Sure, there's a need. We can't afford it. We don't have the luxury. I still think you got to get a defensive stud. A 6th overall pick, CBS mock draft, is Monroe Freeling, tackle, Georgia. Thankfully, with paying, Tunsil, your left tackle's tied up. And the mock, at least this one I'm looking at here, lands us at 7 with Reuben Bain Jr. and his short little alligator arms. His little T-Rex arms. I kid because they're not T-Rex arms. They're just a couple inches shorter than what they would ideally like. And guess what? I don't give a crap. I want this guy. You watch Reuben Bain Jr. operate, especially in the national championship game for Miami. You're like, damn, this dude is wrecking things. Wrecking things left and right. Of course, you would then also pass up on Carnell Tate, wide receiver from the Ohio State. Young Will's absolute favorite team growing up, the Buckeyes. What did I say? Will? God bless
you. Yeah,
he
said
morning.
Will. It's okay. Let's start with the W's.
Yeah, senior brain going on here. Even though, Wes, you went to Virginia Tech, you're an Ohio State fan.
Yes.
By life. I mean, and by birth and by pedigree. So this is your team.
My father, yes.
Tell me if Carnell Tate is going to be one of those guys, like, say, JSN, that in 3 years we go, God, we should have taken him.
In the Commander situation, no. I don't think that they'll cringe by the fact that they skipped on Carnell Tate.
Okay.
I don't think in their situation you can do that with their defense being Swiss cheese. There's some that draft is loaded on the defensive side, and it's very easy to pick one of those guys up.
Okay. That's kind of what my feeling is. Also, you know, there's a feeling like, not that wide receiver is a simple and easily filled position, but there is a sense that wide receivers are becoming more bountiful because of the systems being run in college and of the training and how elite so many guys are at that position, that if you've got a good offensive line that can run a bit and protect the quarterback and you got a good trigger man, you're going to make a lot of wide receivers into stars because they're going to be running free. There's kind of a feeling that that's the trend in the league. I still think exceptional talents like JSN, who rise head and shoulders above the next guy, make a difference, but still. So I'm on board with take the best defensive player available at 7. And don't try to tell me, well, yeah, but we think so-and-so is actually a better football player. You think so, but you just think. You don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. All right, let's talk Bam Adebayo for a second. He scored 83 points against the Wizards, in which he was going off from the very get-go, in a game in which the Wizards were like, la, 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 we just want to tank and not get fined by the commissioner. Oh, boy, okay, la, 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 la. Okay, so he goes off for 31 in the first quarter. He's got 41, I think it was 41, at halftime. He's cruising through the third quarter when the Wizards are still, la, 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 it's just a game we don't want to win. And he starts to tickle the underbelly of, hey, wait a minute. I know I ain't getting to 100, which is the Wilt number, but I might get past Kobe's. Let's go for it. And so the Heat did. And Adebayo did. And they were unapologetic about it at the time, and they were even less apologetic about it in the aftermath. Eric Spoelstra said defiantly, I apologize to no one for this. It was a farce, and it was unethical, and it was ridiculous. It was absurd. He was not just jacking up shots and threes, but while up 20, the Heat were making sure to foul the Wizards in order to get more possessions to squeeze it out. He also was getting every call under the sun as he was finally double and triple teamed as the Wizards gave kind of a half-hearted effort to shut this thing down. And he somehow was able to persevere through it. 43 free throws later. That's absurd. I said in a tweet, a real commissioner would have already fined and suspended several players and a coach or two for this, but we don't have a real commissioner at this league. We got Adam Silver. And Adam Silver has become a steady disappointment to me and many other sports fans who are like, hey, you know, I know you want to lean into the culture aspect of the NBA and the celebrity aspect of these players, but it's still a sports league. There's got to be rules. There's got to be some standards here, right? But apparently not. This is what bothers me the most about it. And maybe it's just me. It wasn't a record. It was a nothing. It was, as Ricky Bobby would put it, a prize for first loser. You know, Wilt had 100. It's documented. It is has no photographic or video or film evidence because it was in a bygone time of the NBA. But there are audio recordings of the play-by-play. I've listened to that. Pablo Torre on Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast did a great deep dive in which he talked to somebody who's done research on that night and listening to the play-by-play account of the game. The Wilt 100 was also pretty unethical the way it went down. Of course, Wilt was already scoring, I don't know, close to 50 points a game to begin with. So he was so dominant then that for one night, if he really put his shoulder into it and decided to go for something like this, he could possibly score 100. So after listening to and watching that episode of Pablo Torre's, I'm like, yeah, that was kind of unethical as well. The Kobe number was unethical as well because Kobe had decided, okay, enough of this nonsense of these guys going for big numbers. Watch what I can do when I really try to go full gunner mode. Nobody hails the Kobe Bryant game as some kind of paragon of basketball virtue. But again, that wasn't a record. Just like Bam passing Kobe is not a record. So when I see these headlines, all right, Bam Adebayo just broke NBA history. No, he didn't break anything. Like, second, call me when somebody has 101. That's what I want. I don't like things that are not a record being called a record. And to me, records are very simple. They have to be most in a single game, most in a single season, most in a single career. Those are records. These database-dug trends and streaks, like they just celebrated recently, Oklahoma City Thunder's brain locking right now. Hold on. Steady here. Your league MVP, Wesley. He just broke the streak for most consecutive 20-point games in a row. Okay? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I knew it would come to me. Okay, I'm good now. So SGA broke a quote record, which you wouldn't know because 20 points in consecutive games is an arbitrary thing. And I think he also broke Wilt's quote record on that. These are not records, okay? Now Bam Adebayo has the balls to complain about, wait for it, the referees not giving him enough calls. Take a listen to this.
For the call, I feel like it was fast. And, you know, that's the thing about, that's what's frustrating about it because we get fined if we say something about it. But, like, that altered the game. And when you alter the game, you should have to like stand on that. Because when we mess up, when we make mistakes, when we miss stuff, like all hell breaks loose on us. You know, we got people blaming us for everything. And then on the other side, I felt like they had a 5-second call that wasn't called. Altered the game. So you see what I'm getting at when it's like they affect the game in a way where sometimes it does have an effect, and you know they get to go home and sleep peacefully, and we're up here talking about a call that you feel like should have been called or not called. as far as the second half.
Okay. Frank Isola, longtime NBA reporter, had the best tweet about this. He said, "You just took 43 free throws in a game. Maybe give it a week before you complain about the officiating." This angle from Bam Adebayo is a common one. And to me, it's the biggest, dumbest, midwits opinion you can have, which is these referees should have to do press conferences themselves to explain their calls. Okay. And if they did, then what? Well, they just should. You know, they should be accountable. I'm like, all right. Will it make the future calls better? Well, no, probably not. Because they're humans. Human officiating, just like playing sports, is an imperfect endeavor. It's gonna come with mistakes. And this is part of why I hate replay so much. Replay sells the promise of we can get it right. We can reach a higher level of sporting utopia where the calls are not wrong. But they will always be wrong to a certain degree, and they will be inconsistent, always. And the way that too many players and too many coaches now are bitching about it, oh my God. There was a clip of Bruce Pearl on the sideline as his son's Auburn team was circling the drain against Tennessee to be bounced early in the SEC tournament. A clip of Bruce Pearl standing there just off of courtside screaming like a lunatic at the referees. And I just shook my head thinking, this is the worst look ever. You think that's going to change a call? You're screaming on behalf of your son? Hey, that was a foul, ref! I think people should be better. But apparently, it's not the way it is. All right, Bam. You're not going to get 43 squeezes a night at the line. I'm sorry to say that. That was a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Coming up, Rick Pitino might be the hardest guy in sports to root for, but he's also one of the most compelling. I will talk about why next. You're listening to Sports Sunday on The Fan. Going to be a great tournament. Bubble pops tonight, 6 o'clock, although it's probably already popped. I would imagine the committee already has their overall bracket mostly filled out. But it doesn't mean you will not see the shots of the committee today huddled around their televisions in that conference room, which has now become a staple of this final Sunday of the regular season in college basketball. Not quite regular season, but you know what I'm saying. The last Sunday before the tournament, it's now, hey, look, we paid for Grubhub for these committee members. They're sequestered. They're bearing down. They're thinking about all the teams that belong in. They got TVs. Okay, great. Just try not to screw the bracket up. Try not to make it where you're like, wait a minute. You can't put them over there. They've already done a lot of work on this. I think the cake is mostly baked. Welcome back. Sports Sunday here on The Fan. I am Steve Zabe, and you can reach me at Zabe on Twitter. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. You can also find my podcast wherever you get your podcasts, The Zabe Cast, handily named. Just a kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. You've heard me for years on the DC radio airwaves. It's great that I get a chance to do some of these weekend shifts here on The Fan. And guys like Will, Wesley, Wando, Clark, whatever his name is when I lose my mind in the morning, does a great job of producing the show. Okay, let me just give you the bubble real quick here. This according to the latest projections. Seton Hall, Oklahoma, VCU, San Diego State, New Mexico, Indiana, Texas, Auburn, SMU, and Missouri are all sweating it right now. The last four in, according to Yahoo Sports and Hoops HQ, likely includes Oklahoma and SMU. The next four out or on the bubble include Seton Hall, Indiana, Auburn, and Missouri. So there's still some fluidity there. The belief is that Miami is in, and I hope that's the case. Now, the next question is, how in are they going to be? Are they in like, hey, they're at the card table, which is the Tuesday, Wednesday play-in tournaments, or not tournaments, but the, you know, the first four, which I have likened to the card table at Thanksgiving when you go to your family's house, and the real table for Thanksgiving is not big enough for everybody, so there's a card table over here. You're still in the room, but the kids are there. The kids you don't really want to talk to. They don't belong at the big table. The card table games Tuesday and Wednesday, you're still in. You can still say we made the tournament. I believe your cut of the television share is the same if you make the first four or if you make the big bracket. Don't quote me on that, but I think so. So you can say we made the tournament, but let's be honest. It's still a bit disappointing because you may be out by Tuesday night. You're in by Sunday night. You're out by Tuesday night. It's like, were we even here? Like, did this happen? When you're a Cinderella or a mid-major that gets into the tournament and are perceived to be dangerous, then you get a nice glow-up. You get talked about. You get pumped up, gassed up, fawned over for a full 4 days sometimes, 5 days if it takes you to Friday. And that feels good. Schools like that. And if you're an alum of the school, you enjoy this week coming up. Like, yep, we got our work cut out against Duke or Michigan State or whomever. But we're going to show them we can play this game. The most obvious low-hanging fruit of a ratings grab, sizzle, splash type deal would be to put who against who on Tuesday or Wednesday? Of course, Miami against Auburn. Miami of Ohio against Auburn. I know I'd be rearranging plans to make sure I'm not going to miss that one. And who knows how it would come out. It feels, though, like too much of a forced matchup for me to say I'd like to see that happen. Honestly, Auburn just does not deserve it. And it don't get me started about, well, compare them to Miami. On yesterday's Sports Saturday, which was a quick show, but we played it, Frank Martin, former coach at South Carolina, said, hey, when I was in the SEC, we finished top six 7 times, and we only made the tournament twice. We had 3 bids 1 year in the SEC, and that's when they decided this can't stand. We need to change the RPI and include something called the net rating. And the net rating is a preseason computer-driven formula designed to, of course, favor the big boys, the big schools, the Power Four, the Power Five. And that has skewed everything. It's essentially rigged the game. Frank Martin laid it all out. But it's tough because when you're a team like Miami, you can only play who's on your schedule. 90% of your schedule, you can't control. You live in a conference. That is a conference that has comparable school sizes, budgets, etc. What are you going to do? And then of the remaining 10% of games you can schedule, good luck getting a good home and home with a team that's going to boost your number. It's just not going to happen. So we'll see what happens tonight with the bubble and the bracket, and it's a fun night. Please may this tournament never get beyond 68 teams. It's already stuffed to the gills. Once you take it off of a single sheet of paper, it's cooked. It's done. Don't make me flip it over. Don't say, well, if you just print out a legal piece of paper, it's longer, but it's still on there. And don't say, who even uses paper brackets? Everyone has it on their phone. Don't tell me that. There is magic in a single sheet of paper. Rick Pitino's got the Johnnies rolling. I want to dig into why he is both the hardest guy to root for and also the most compelling guy in college basketball. Zabe with you on a Sports Sunday, the Ides of March, Selection Sunday, 2026. We're back, Sports Sunday. I'm right now years old when I find out from young Wesley that I got to be out at 40 this hour. We got 5 minutes left of the show. Oh, just for the segment. Okay, so I got another segment after this. Okay, good. Oh, okay, goodbye, 980. Goodbye, see you later. All right, so I've got a heart out here at 12:40 and what? 12:40:30. Okay. I'm going to write this one down. 12:40:30. Okay. Let me get this in here in 3 minutes' time. Rick Pitino is arguably the greatest modern college basketball coach ever. Even better than the famous and legendary Mike Krzyzewski. Because while Krzyzewski built an empire at Duke and ran it with a rat-faced iron fist, you have Pitino doing it at five different schools. No one has taken five different teams to the dance like Pitino. Boston University, Kentucky, Louisville, Iona, and now St. John's. Now, does it help that he's got a billionaire funding their NIL bankroll? Yes. Mike Riepoll is the billionaire. He leveraged the founding of major beverage brands Glasso, makers of vitamin water and smart water, along with Body Armor, and sold to Coca-Cola for billions of dollars. He's a St. John's alum, Long Island guy, and he's like, we're doing this. But it's Pitino who knows how to reach and motivate the kids. This was Pitino on a viral locker room speech at halftime last year to Jimmy Fallon.
That went viral. We have a clip of Coach Rick Pitino giving a halftime speech. Watch this.
You guys keep blowing opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity. You're like children with bad things happening. Instead of digging in and be tougher, you wilt. Where is your toughness? Don't you know what adversity is all about? That's the game of life, not the game of basketball. You don't down when things go wrong. You dig in and get tougher. Your whole life's going to be adversity. Learn how to deal with it.
Yes! Learn how to deal with it! Yes! Everyone sent that clip to me. It went all over the place. And who ended up winning that game?
We lost by 20.
No,
we won the game.
You won the game. That's exactly. And you were
again, this is coaching masterclass. He's brilliant at both the psychology of it, connecting with a generation. You know, he's an old guy now, but he can still connect with today's player. And his X's and O's are second to nobody. They're elite. And yet, what happened with him along the way at Kentucky and then at Louisville is disgusting. And you can go Google the details of it if you want. It just is shocking to go, really? In a Italian restaurant, a single mom booster, and then you paid for her abortion? My God. That's more than just a indiscriminate fling, per se. But man, is he good. And he's got the Johnnies rolling. And the Garden was rocking last night. All right, coming up, final segment. Larry David has what is probably the third installment of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Some entertainment news and more coming up next. Final segment, Sports Sunday on The Fan. Just went outside, young Wes. I'm sorry to report the SEI, terrible. 2 out of 10. You're like, the SEI? I just made that metric up. I call it the spring enjoyment index. The spring enjoyment index for golf or for anything, for the weather, is my unofficial, okay, can you go outside and enjoy spring, air quotes? And it's a 2 out of 10 right now. It's cloudy. It's barely 50. The wind is blowing, so it feels even colder. I mean, can you go outside and walk your dog or do something? Yeah, but it's basically winter light right now. So luckily for you, you were out last night celebrating St. Paddy's Day early, so you're just going to chill out inside today. You got the couch calling you when you're done with your shift today, right? What time do you get off?
Say again?
What time do you get off work today?
Oh, right after the show.
Okay, good. So you got the couch calling you. You don't have to worry. But I'm just here to report the SEI, the Spring Enjoyment Index, is very low outside. So just be aware of that in case you are just waking up on this Sunday. Tomorrow is going to be a show. I'm following Matthew Cappucci, atmospheric scientist, storm chaser, adventurer, teacher, author, a senior meteorologist at MyRadar WX Weather, MyRadar. So he went to Harvard and MIT. He's got 80,000 followers. I believe he's a legit meteorologist. And he writes to say, DMV gang, here's what you need to know for Monday's severe weather threat. Round one might include a couple of supercells with tornado threat from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Round two is a squall line with widespread straight-line winds up to 60 or 75 miles per hour, with a couple of perhaps embedded spin-up tornadoes. Yikes. Sounds derecho-ish for tomorrow. So, as they say, bring in all your loose couch cushions on the porch and plants and whatever else is out there. Tomorrow could be ugly. Tomorrow's a good day to work. Get in the office. Do some work. Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Seinfeld, is adding, I kind of think, the third echo of his own particular brand of television comedy. Obviously, Seinfeld was the first. Curb was a spinoff of Seinfeld. I love both shows. I think I'm going to like this. We'll see. Larry David is releasing on June 26th, or HBO is, Larry David's Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness, an almost history of America. It satirizes the United States in celebration of its 250th anniversary. By the way, I'm all for this. That's what makes America great, the fact that you can poke fun at it. Directed by Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld alum Jeff Schaefer, the series is 7 episodes, each of which contains about 4 sketches. It'll feature a rotating cast that includes plenty of Curb Your Enthusiasm alumni, including Jeff Garlin, J.B. Smoove, and Susie Essman. Yes. Susie Essman plays Susan B. Anthony in this. David and Schaefer revealed some of the other guest stars as well. They include Bill Hader. Yes. Katherine Hahn. Bill Hader will play Abraham Lincoln. John Hamm and Sean Hayes will play the Wright brothers. And David and Jerry Seinfeld will play Lewis and Clark. I'm laughing already. I know this is maybe not everybody's humor, but this is mine. When you do a mashup of historical events with a Larry David twist, comedic twist is great. Even Barack Obama, whose production company Higher Ground is a producer of the show, will appear opposite David in one sketch. On Curb and on Seinfeld, I was the boss. I'm used to being the boss, David said in an interview to Variety. And Obama is also quite used to being the boss. In true producer fashion, the former POTUS gave David notes on the first script of the series, and Larry David said that Obama remarked, "I don't think this is the right thing to do," which prompted David to shoot him a look that said, "Really?" Obama said, "Well, when I was in the White House, I used to take notes from my advisors, and I was the president of the United States," to which Larry David shot back, "Well, I'm the president here." One of the skits or sketches is of Larry David playing somebody on VJ Day, where you know, victory for World War II, and the sailors were coming home, and the nurses were all in their whites, and there's the iconic Life magazine photo of the sailor giving a deep back-bending kiss to a woman. Larry David twisted it like it's a free-for-all where anyone could just do that.
We're celebrating.
What are you, some kind of sicko?
No, everybody's Christian.
No, they're not. Only you.
No, not just me. I saw
people. Pervo, fucker.
I ducked that out real quick. Just hit a dump button for me there, just in case. But yeah, I love this. I love this twist to take historical moments and go, what if? Everybody's kissing. I thought I could do it. Somebody tweeted, if Larry doesn't end up asking Rosa Parks to switch seats on the bus, then the show has failed conceptually. Yes. Again, you got to have a sense of humor, people. Jerry World in Arlington is getting a glow up for the upcoming World Cup. World Cup requires natural grass. Yes, you can install it and keep it alive indoors. I know many Commander fans are like, well, then why are we doing that with a new place? Well, you still got to grow it. And if you're only going to do it temporarily for a month for the World Cup, it's doable. But get this. I'm looking at right now, they had to raise the floor of Jerry World by about 4 feet because they needed more surface area for the field. So they have this incredible amount of construction to put retaining walls and to backfill it with dirt and gravel and everything else. It's amazing what money can do, right? When it comes down to it. USA versus Dominican tonight, the DR tonight in the World Baseball Classic, Miami, Florida. Current get-in ticket prices. Get-in prices. Cheapest is $277. If you want a better seat, it is tickling $1,000 tonight. So obviously this thing is very popular. It's going to be a hell of a game.
Are we picking winners?
You wanna?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Because I'm going to stick with who I got, who I picked a month ago, and that's the Dominican Republic.
Well, duh. Look at their lineup. Look at what they got going for
them. I understand that they're pitching Paul Skeens, but...
Yeah.
It's the consistency, and Paul Skeens will be limited to 70 pitches. So once you get to that bullpen, we saw what they did against Italy.
Yeah, right. Did you like the Italian team with the espresso machine?
It's so funny. It's a nice taste to the heritage.
Right. Did you like the fact that these boys are all from Toms River, New Jersey, and Hutchinson, Kansas?
And two of them are Ohio State Buckeyes.
Right. And the only word of Italian they know is... Buongiorno.
Ciao.
That's fine. Ciao. Right. That's pretty much it right there. Romeo Doubs, New England Patriots, been given Gronk's 87. Is that right? I'm not so sure. I mean, Gronk is a borderline Hall of Famer, and there's only so many numbers available in that 80s range. Just seems a bit odd. As I'm looking at that right now. Inside the NBA, very popular show, at least it was for a long time, got a grand total of 23 minutes last night. 23 minutes with commercials on ABC. Didn't help that the game ran long and they didn't have much time and local news wants to claw back their time, but this is not good for fans of Ernie, Kenny, Shaq, and Charles. 23 minutes with commercials. And then poor Richard T. Lee. Richard T. Lee missed a 2-foot putt on the Live Tour to lose to Bryson DeChambeau in Singapore. Just gacked it. 2 feet. It's a gimme. In your friendly weekend game, people would have said, pick it up. Richard T. Lee, Korean, by way of Canada, wild card player, almost took down DeChambeau. All right, I'm done today. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a great Sunday. Bubble tonight bursts, and we got the bracket. Get ready.